It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Today is Saturday, June 19th. We're less than 5 weeks from the start of the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. It's a long time coming since these games were originally supposed to happen last summer. But even after a year-long delay, there's still a lot of controversy over these games because of COVID-19 still spreading around the globe. So organizers are trying to keep things safe by having strict rules in place. We're talking everything from daily COVID testing to mandated mask wearing and high-five bans. Today, we'll hear from the chief medical officer for U.S. Soccer, Dr. George Champas, who will be traveling to Japan. He spoke with our main host, Erica Mandy, about safety regulations and his own expectations ahead of the games. After that, an interview with skateboarding national champion Bryce Wettstein. This is actually the first time skateboarding has been included as an Olympic sport. So she'll talk about what this historic moment means to her and how the pandemic has impacted her training. Here's Erica.
Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Dr. Champas, thank you for joining us here on the Newsworthy.
Good to be with you, Erica.
Thousands of doctors that are part of the Tokyo Medical Practitioners Association have called for the cancellation of the Olympics this year. 83% of voters in a nationwide survey in Japan also think that it should be postponed or canceled. Do they have a point, or do you think the Olympics should still go on?
Well, I think that those decisions should be left within Tokyo and the IOC, and hopefully they're making the best decision for their country, their public, and taking all of those variables into account. What we can control is what we can control with our athletes, our staff, our delegation, to make sure that if and when the Olympics do occur, that we're going in there as safely as possible. That's how we're looking at it. And hopefully, you know, our players can get back to the field. Hopefully sport can get back and provide a little bit of a beacon of hope for not only Japan, but for the rest of the world.
Assuming the games do go on as planned, what are a few of those main regulations that you're really paying attention to that you want to prepare your athletes to know ahead of time?
It starts with behaviors first. It starts with making sure that you're avoiding high-risk areas, whether it be, you know, large grocery stores. You're sometimes being very disciplined and selfless and maybe not going out to dinners or going indoors to dinners where there are high-risk areas. And we've pointed a lot of those areas to avoid. Secondly, it's about wearing masks and good hygiene. Then there's obviously quite a bit of testing that goes on for our athletes and our staff. Those are some of the protocols. We're very cognizant in our camps of where people eat, how they eat. Essentially, they're wearing a mask in every moment other than when they're in the meal room or other than when they're on the field actually being physically active.
One precaution happening this year at the Olympics is that there will not be any fans. Based on your years working with top-level athletes, do you think a quieter stadium, not having those fans there, will have an impact on the players and the competition?
You know, athletes are competitors. You know, the Olympics is one of the biggest stages, you know, in the world. The fans are a huge area that you really can never put your finger on. I think that this last 12, you know, months, our athletes have stepped up, have shown a tremendous amount of resilience, professionalism. And I would expect nothing less of the Olympics. Our women's national team is looking for the gold and they're very focused. And so I think, you know, whether they're fans in the stands or fans watching from afar, I think that you're still going to see that high level of competition and it's going to be an exceptional Olympics.
What are you hearing from the athletes themselves? Are you hearing from anyone who is nervous about the potential health implications of going to such a big event?
If you test positive for COVID after about 10 to 14 days, you're not infectious. But we also know that you can continue to test positive for upwards of 30 to 90 days if you were to get COVID. In our world of sport in the United States, if we show that COVID positive test that has taken place, you know, longer than 10, 15 days ago, the exception to be able to allow an athlete to return to play is allowed. What we're hearing from Japan is that if you continue to test positive, they're not going to make that exception. And so that's one area that I think is concerning us and why you're seeing us be extremely conservative, even in a population that is vaccinated. We know that there is a small chance for breakthrough infections. We would hate to see one of those breakthrough infections occur and then there not be any accommodation, conversation to be able to allow that athlete in a non-infectious way. So that's probably front and center for me. Our athletes know that, and that's why we continue to be really razor-focused, compliant, and conservative in our approach.
So I know you're traveling to Japan as well for the Games. I understand it's your first Olympics to actually be there in person. Describe your role and how you're feeling about it all.
I was selected to be a venue medical director, and I'm going to be in Sapporo, and so I'm really excited about that. It's one of several venues across Tokyo. I'm obviously honored to represent our country. I'm honored to represent the game. I'm a huge advocate of the health and safety of all of our athletes and the sport of soccer in so many ways, and I think this is just another continuum of that. Excited to see the game of soccer on one of the biggest stages in the world, and to have a small part of that is truly an honor for me. My parents are from Greece, and so the Olympics have another special meaning for me. And so to be able to go there and represent the United States in this capacity is a true highlight in my personal and professional career.
Anything else you want to add or just a final takeaway for our audience?
I think that our game and the sport of soccer is one that in the United States has shown how to be able to navigate a very difficult situation and do it in a very responsible way. Our players, I think, have shown that as well. This summer should be a culmination of for us in the United States to really highlight our country, highlight our people, highlight what makes us all special in the United States. And I think that's going to be displayed come July and August through the Olympics. And so that's what I look towards. I'm excited about that. And hopefully that's what comes true for us as we're standing on top, receiving the gold medal.
Still ahead, Olympic athletes will be competing without the support of in-person fans. Skateboarder Bryce Wettstein shares her predictions about what that experience will be like. And she's giving us a sneak peek at the new tricks she may use at the competition. But first, here's Erica again with today's sponsors.
Rothy's believes style is about more than just fashion. From slip-on sneakers and classic flats to chic handbags and spacious totes, Rothy's makes getting dressed easy. And does it all with 100% recycled materials like thread spun from, get this, plastic water bottles. And here's another amazing aspect of Rothy's shoes. They're fully machine washable. That's right, no need to worry about spills or dirt. Just throw them in the washing machine and they'll come out looking brand new. Rothy's are extremely durable and last wash after wash. In fact, the average pair of Rothy's has walked about 1,000 miles. That's like walking from San Francisco to Denver and staying comfortable with every step. That's why I never have to worry about throwing on my nice Rothy's flats for any occasion, even just a walk to the park. If they get dirty, I have no stress. I know I can make them fresh and clean in no time. We all deserve shoes and bags that can keep up with our busy, active lives, right? So keep it clean with cute, washable shoes and bags from Rothy's. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy to find your new favorites today. That's Rothys, rothys.com/newsworthy. This episode is also made possible thanks to our next sponsor. Ritual is not your typical multivitamin. Its clean, vegan-friendly formula is made with key nutrients, including vitamin D3 to help fill gaps in the diet and informs your body can actually use. And there are no shady extras allowed. That's why I first started taking Ritual vitamins months ago. Yep, even if I was not partnering with them, I would be taking these vitamins. I appreciate that the company is so upfront about exactly what goes in the vitamins and why, and I can take them with or without food and have no issues. Ritual's fresh-tasting, delayed-release capsules are designed to dissolve later in less sensitive areas of the stomach. They're also convenient. They're delivered right to my door with free shipping each month. Of course, you can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. Plus, right now, Ritual is offering the Newsworthy listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/newsworthy to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/newsworthy.
Thanks, Erica. Okay, now here's her conversation with skateboarder Bryce Wettstein.
Bryce, thank you for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you so, so much for having me.
So you're likely going to make history as one of the first skateboarders to ever compete at an Olympic Games. How does that feel to, one, see the sport be recognized at the Olympics for the very first time, and two, for you to personally be part of it?
Being in the Olympics for the first time, this means more than I could ever imagine, because I think about the origins of skateboarding and how it's such an art to athleticism. Thinking about making history, that's pretty much something that I will probably dream about every single day. I honestly never have any words for it, ever.
You're already a national champion. You've been on Team USA since 2019. You've competed all over the world. Do the Olympics feel different at all? Do they bring on extra nerves, or is it just another competition to you?
I think a lot of it is pre-anticipation, kind of those feelings you have when you wake up from like a dream. You're always thinking about what could it be like? You're envisioning the what could be. It's definitely, I've been treating it a little bit like I just treat competitions I go to, you know, where I travel or Vans Park Series, things like that. I've been treating it similar to competitions I've already done. But once again, I'm like, until I go, I still don't know how to treat it yet until it comes. It's like, oh my gosh. And then after, you're just thinking about it and you're recapping how it would be. So I think I'm just looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hard to imagine. Tell us how you've been preparing for Tokyo, including how the pandemic and the year-long delay of the Olympics has impacted you in your training.
I think the pandemic really actually impacted my training in almost a positive way, because it kind of heightened the points of my skateboarding that I didn't really know existed. And the confined walls of the pandemic, you know, not allowing us to travel, you have time to dabble in things that people before would say, no, we got to push that aside. We got to do this. It allowed me to become that much more introspective. Who am I and what am I doing on my skateboard? I can actually do anything. I can go and do handstands on my skateboard. I can try to invent things that I didn't know existed.
How intense, though, is the training for any competition, but even more so the Olympics? Like, tell us about a typical day for you or what that training looks like.
I do have a ramp in my backyard. I also have a bowl in my backyard. I usually do practice about, you know, 2 to 3 hours a day, and then maybe pause and have an intermission and go back out and practice another 3 hours. It's definitely very, very unprompted, because I think that's what skateboarding is. It's that feeling where you have to listen to what your heart is saying so you can go and conquer that in that moment.
There will not be fans at the Olympics because of the ongoing health risk. Assuming that you're able to compete, do you think that will affect the competition, or do you kind of zone out the crowd anyway when you're skating?
With the no spectators, honestly, once again, I'm going to be like, well, that's a whole new asset to skateboarding, because a lot of times at these competitions, there's so many people immersed around you that you can feel all of the arrays of energy that are coming from everybody around you. And without that, I think what we're going to start doing is kind of looking at each other like, wow, we really love this. It's almost going to be like just skateboarding with the people you love again. I think it's definitely going to be a shakeup, but we're going to learn to acclimate to it, because when we have something that we love with us, when we have our best friends to do it too, I think it's going to bring a whole new aura to skateboarding.
And let's go back for a moment to the beginning. Tell us just briefly how you got into skateboarding and what made you fall in love with it.
My dad was going to skateboard in a pool. Being 6 years old, I was like, what'd you just say? My curiosity took flight. So I went with him and we went skateboarding. It turns out the pool was drained. We started skateboarding around in there, kind of like a fishbowl, just going round and round like little fish. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like nothing like swimming, or it's nothing like basketball. There's not really this obtainable objective. Like, I'm kind of just being who I am. I think the infatuation I had that day led me to be curious, which led me to a passion, which led me to falling in love. I had my first competition when I was like 7 years old, but I think 12 years old is when I actually went to Huntington Beach and got on the podium for the first time. And that was when I was like, this really happened? Like, am I capable of this? And you have to add, it's a very interrogative thing, skateboarding, because, you know, it's very between yourself. Once again, you're going within yourself rather than always to another person. So a lot of people don't see the behind the scenes of what you're thinking, but you can see it on their face, that the pure joy of, you know, the outermost joy that you have when you finish a run or you live that dream that you've always been doing. And that allows me to fall in love with it every day, re-meeting my skateboard for the first time every day, because you know it's never going to be the same.
Finally, assuming that you're able to compete in the Olympics, anything specific our listeners should look out for when they turn on the TV to watch you compete this summer?
I'd love to try like a back D double spin around. I don't know if you've ever seen Rodney Mullen, but sometimes he'll spin on his board around and around, or use different parts of his board to skateboard and do tricks. I'd love to do that this year. I'd also love to maybe just like spice it up with a few things that even I haven't even tried yet. Maybe a handstand or rock and rolls and things like that.
Thanks, Erica. And thank you to Dr. George Champas and Bryce Wettstein for sharing their insights. The Olympics opening ceremony is set for July 23rd. We'll be tracking any new developments leading up till then and keep you updated on Team USA once the games are underway. Be sure to check us out Monday through Friday for our daily roundups, where we provide all the day's news in about 10 minutes. Until then, have a great weekend.